Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but look at 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Don't worry, Peter. Satan has asked. God's given access. But I've already prayed for you. Your faith's not going to fail.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Hey, welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. This is David. Thank you, Brother Corey, for that great introduction. And guys, God is doing something new. He's always up to something, this God we serve. And last week, we began a new topic, a new study, a new teaching, and I really don't know where all this is going. A few days ago, I just began to look and read in the Word, and God began to take me on a journey through the life of Peter. And really not through the life of Peter, but through a certain stage of Peter's life where some amazing things took place. I want to take a few minutes to try to draw an illustration up for you and to the best of my ability. And then I want to relate back a little bit to what we said last week, and then I want to kind of move forward in this teaching. I've entitled this, Peter, the Making of the Apostle. And what that title means to me is it speaks of a process. It speaks of a process through which Peter went from being the loud and boisterous and kind of fast-speaking but slower-thinking man that he was. I'm talking about the 3.5 years he was with Jesus. We read so many times where on one hand, Peter would do or say something amazing, and on the other hand, he would be getting in trouble, being rebuked by the Lord, because his heart would be in the right place, but his flesh would get in the way. I remember the time that the scripture points out that Jesus was in the garden with them, and he had taken Peter, James, and John into the garden, and he said, pray. You know, I'm in agony. I'm struggling. He'd already told them that he's about to go away. He's alluded to his death, and he's taken them in. He's, I've got to pray. Pray with me. Pray for me. Pray for yourselves. Jesus comes back a short time later, and what are they doing? They're asleep. And Mark says that Jesus comes back and specifically addresses Peter. Here's what the verse says. Then he came and found them asleep and said to Peter, I mean, the other three disciples are still there, but he addresses Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? And then he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus says this, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that so calls out Peter, the Peter that we see over and over again during his time with Christ, those 3.5 years. The spirit was willing. His heart, a lot of times, seemed to be in the right place, but so many times his flesh overruled the spirit. And man, truth seeker, let's be honest. Isn't that us so many times? But we see Peter in that light in the Gospels. And then we see Peter come out of an upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he is somewhat of a different kind of man of God. He has been endued by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he comes out and preaches for a few minutes, and 3,000 people get saved, and he is a walking, talking, spiritual powerhouse. He becomes a cornerstone leader of not only the apostles, but the church itself. He is the, Paul would say, he is the apostle to the Jews. And then we read the epistles of Peter. And we see an eloquently writing and speaking spiritual man with the Holy Spirit working both down to him but through him. And you look at Peter in the epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter, and then you look back at where he came from. And here's what God's doing for me as of late, children of God, truth seekers. He's bringing this question to my mind. What did it take to get Peter from being Peter the disciple to being Peter the apostle? That's why I've entitled this time we're going to spend together on this, Peter, the making of the apostle. Last week we spent the entire time just looking at how profound the writings of Peter was just in a few short verses in 1 Peter. And I referred to specifically 1 Peter 5. Let me read these couple of verses again, and then we're going to go in a different direction today. I'm not going to be teaching on these verses like last week. If you missed last week, please go to truthinfusion.com. Please go there. If you go to the radio page, you can listen to last week's show in its totality for free. Listen to it 100 times. Get your neighbor to listen to it. It's there for you to use and to be a tool. But this is what I want to read. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Here is Peter the apostle. He says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That due time means in God's time, in his perfect timing. Peter encourages us, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Why, Peter? "Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, resist him. Okay, resist the enemy is what Peter is telling us. Okay, how do we do that? He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. We spent some time last week talking about the fact that remaining in the faith, keeping our faith focused on the finished work of Jesus Christ, on Christ himself and what he has done for us, keeping our faith in the right place allows the grace of God to be that ever-flowing fountain of goodness and blessing and benefit into our hearts and lives. Everything we need comes to God in the form of some blessing of grace. Do you need peace today, child of God? Do you need healing for your body, for your mind, for relationships? Do you need financial help in a moment of need? Do you need wisdom, strength? Do you need joy in the face of destruction and tragedy? Everything you need comes to you in some form of the grace of God. And the grace of God, the floodgates are opened up that the grace of God may just flow to you in great abundance when our faith is steadfast, Peter says. Steadfast in the faith, going on. Let me see what he says here. "Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I don't want you to take courage, Peter says. What you're going through isn't new. You're not on an island by yourself. You're not stuck out in the middle of nowhere with nobody that understands. There are other people that are dealing with the devil. There are other people that are having to remain steadfast in the faith, remain sober, remain vigilant. And he goes on to say that in verse 10, "But may the God of all grace," there's the G word again, "who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ." Watch this. After you have suffered a while, after you've gone through some hard times, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. He's saying that after you've gone through that, that God, through the glory of Jesus Christ, will perfect you, Peter said, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And I want to tell you this. I want to make this point. When Peter said, after you have suffered for a while, you will be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled by God, Peter, my friends, was talking about through experience. He wasn't giving us theory right here. So many times we stand up and espouse way too much theory when we should be giving people testimony. Because it is through the testimony and the word that people see the reality of what God can do through a life. You know, when we're lectured to by college professors, I don't know if you've ever been in college classes, that if you've sat in a college class and listened to a man or woman, a professor, very knowledgeable, very educated, yes, but they stand up there and they lecture and they drone on and on and on about fact and about theory, it just after a while just begins to put you to sleep. But if you got somebody, I remember a college professor that I had, it was a history class. It was some sort of American history. I forget the exact title or name of the class. But this college professor, he was a Vietnam vet. He was a drill sergeant after Vietnam in the Army. When he spoke of war, American history, related to the wars that America has been through, when he spoke of things like General George Washington and his tactical movements with his army, this guy was amazing the way he taught it, because he didn't just lecture. He gave us real-life stories and instances and testimonies of stuff he had seen and experienced and taught. And when you have someone teaching you that way, it brings history alive. When you have a man of God, a minister that's not just giving you theory, but is saying, that's why I love listening to my pastor preach. When Brother Todd from First Baptist Redwater takes off, he's going to give you scripture, he's going to tie it to practical life, then he's going to take you to real life stories, and most of the time they either draw you into tears or they draw you into laughter because they're so real. But it is that testimonial application of the Word of God that makes all the difference for those that are listening. I want to tell you something. When Peter looks at us and he says that after a while, after you have suffered for a while, that God will bring you back in perfection and establish you and strengthen you. You know why this works for Peter to say this? Because he's been there. He knows what it's like for the enemy, the roaring lion, to spend some time devouring him. And that's what I want to go to. I want to begin to look at the process, because there was an instance specifically that we're about to look at. When Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "You're about to go through some tough times, son. I'm warning you now, the hardship is coming. But when it's over, you're going to be bigger and better and greater than you ever thought or imagined." You see, through the time we're going to study over the next couple of weeks, Peter went from being the half-hearted, lukewarm, sometimes in, sometimes out, sometimes representing the kingdom, sometimes representing the world disciple, the shifting sands of Peter the disciple. He went through a process of, I'm going to guess, about 40 to 50 days. And through that process, through that time, he went from being Peter the disciple to being Peter the apostle. So we're going to take a look at Peter and the making of the apostle. And why is this important? Because I want to tell you something. God's got a process that he's going to have to take all of us through. None of us become everything that God has destined and outlined for us to be. We don't fulfill completely the purpose that God has called us to until we've gone through the process. Because there is a process of, let me give it to you this way. I don't know how much time you ever spent looking at a blacksmith doing his job. And I don't know a whole lot about blacksmithing. I don't even know if that's a word. Blacksmithing, but you know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever spent time on TV or maybe in a personal demonstration watching a blacksmith work, it's a pretty fantastic process. Process is an important word today, truth seeker. But this blacksmith will have in his mind what it is that he is forming and fashioning. And most of the time he's taking wrought iron, some hard lump of iron, and he's got in his heart and his mind a tool or some iron implement that he is going to build and he's going to fashion. You might think about him making horseshoes, for instance, or some sort of gardening tool or a hammer or what have you. Whatever it is in his heart and mind that he is going to make, That is what that lump of iron is destined to become. But if you look at that lump of iron before the process begins, the last thing you might think when you look at that cold piece of iron is that it's going to be a useful and maybe perhaps even beautiful tool in the near future. But the mind of the blacksmith, that craftsman, already knows what it's going to be ahead of time. He has destined that this chunk of hard iron is going to be something very different, but very useful after the process has been completed. So what's the process the blacksmith goes through? Well, you've seen this. He takes this huge tongs, and he grabs a hold of that iron, and he shoves that piece of iron into a blazing hot furnace full of white hot heat, and he leaves it in that heat. And in that heat, that piece of iron begins to go through changes. Right? It begins to soften. It begins to melt. It begins to change form. And directly that blacksmith, that craftsman will reach back in there and he will grab a hold of that piece of iron and he will pull it out. And it won't look much at all like it did when he put it in there, because now it's glowing. It's glowing hot. And he'll take that piece, and sometimes he'll do one of two things. Sometimes he'll take it and he'll directly put it into water. And you hear that as that blazing hot piece of iron meets with that cold room temperature water, and that clash of temperatures takes that piece of iron into a brand new cooling process, and then that iron begins to cool and it begins to contract and shrink down, and then directly he'll grab it right out of the water, he'll put it back into that furnace, and the heating process begins, and that iron is shifting properties and taking shape. It's going from being hard and solid to being almost in a liquid state. Before it turns liquid, he pulls it back out, and before you know it, the blacksmith lays it on an anvil of a rock hard and tempered piece of iron, and he grabs a huge hammer and it begins to bang on that iron. Clang, clang, and he flips it over. Clang, clang, and the metal on metal rings out, and that softened piece of iron by all that heat begins to be shapen by the tools and the arm and the hands of the blacksmith. All the while in his mind, he's bringing that piece of iron through the process, and it's becoming more and more like that end result in his heart and mind is. And then directly he takes it and he shoves it back into that heat. And then back and forth, that piece of iron goes from the blazing hot heat to the anvil, where he beats it into a new shape and a new form with his hammer. And through a blazing intense heat and intense pressure from the hammer, what was once a dull, hard, cold piece of metal begins to take the shape of a useful tool. And it's the process that the blacksmith takes the iron through. And by the time he finishes, you can hardly even recognize it as the same piece of iron. Because now, after the process is complete, the blacksmith takes this new implement, this new tool or horseshoe or whatever he made, and he gives it to the person that commissioned him to create that. That person now will use it for the purpose it was designed for. And I hope you're seeing the spiritual illustration here. I'm telling you that God has to take all of us through a process, and it's not a comfortable one. It cannot be, because we are covered in cold, hard flesh. And we have selfish ways and selfish tendencies, and we let our desires and the lust of our flesh get ahead of our spirit. And this process begins in us because God has in His heart and His mind a useful and purposeful tool that in His hands will be very effective in the kingdom work, to see the church of God developed and bettered, and to see the church built up and edified. And that same tool in the hands of the master can be taken into the unbelieving world and used as a tool of evangelism to call the lost to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What once was a piece of iron that had no use is now very useful, but it was only because God took it through the process, through intense heat and pounding pressure, the process of the craftsman brings us into the purpose that we were intended to be. And this is the making of the apostle. Peter went through the process. And in the next couple of weeks, I want to point out the process. We're going to look at some very specific moments in the life of the apostle when he was the disciple. Okay? And specifically, this journey for Peter begins, or where we're going to begin, is in the upper room. Jesus Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper. They're going through this whole amazing process. The night before the crucifixion process is all about to begin, Jesus begins to share with the disciples some amazing things about the Holy Spirit, stuff that they won't understand for days and weeks to come. But he begins to tell them things like, I'm going somewhere. Where I go, you cannot go. But I must go so that I can send to you another comforter. And he starts to teach them about the Holy Spirit. And there's this time in that scene, that amazing scene, where Jesus predicts that there would be one that betrays them. And after this amazing prediction that one of you will betray me, the disciples in the book of Luke, it says they began to argue over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. You see, they still didn't get it. It's a good thing that I'm not Jesus or wasn't back then, because I may have just thrown all of us out. But the compassion of Jesus draws them back and begins to try to teach them again. And at one point in this amazing scene, this is what happens. Jesus turns to Peter, and this is coming from Luke chapter 22. I'm going to start reading verse 31. Now listen to this and imagine this as Peter heard it. It must have just stone cold stopped him in his tracks. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Now, truth seekers, it just goes without saying, this is an intense moment. This scripture is intense for me to even consider now. What Jesus effectively told Peter was that Peter, Satan himself has asked for you. Has asked who? Satan has, you know, here's what we know. Peter belonged to the Lord. He was chosen by God. He spent 3.5 years learning from the Son of God. Peter belongs to God. If Satan is going to have access to God or to any one of God's children, Satan has to ask for permission. Jesus tells Peter, Peter, Satan has asked for permission to have access to you. And really what we see from what Peter was told is he's been given permission. Now, David, would God give permission for Satan to have access to one of his kids? Yes. Listen, I'm with you. It's hard to take that in and to consider that and to say, where do I stack up with all this? Does that happen to me? Is it going to happen to me? Has it happened to me? Has the enemy been given access to me by God himself? Well, let me encourage you with a couple of things. Number one, you be encouraged with the fact that for the enemy to have access to you, number one, they have to ask permission. You belong to him, and he would only allow the enemy to have access to you if and only if it was going to, number one, further his kingdom, and number two, further his child. I told you that this process the blacksmith takes us through. is uncomfortable. It comes with extensive and high heat levels and with pounding pressure. And I'm telling you this also, there are times when God knows, and He's the only one that can know this, that the best thing that one of His kids can go through is to go through the extensive heat and pressure of allowing the enemy a little inside access to your life. This is what Peter was told. Look, this isn't the only time this happens. Do you remember the other time we're told specifically that Satan asks for one of God's? That's what the whole book of Job is about. God calls Satan to give a report, and he brags on Job to Satan and says, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's no one like him on earth." And Satan basically says, "No kidding, there's no one like him. You've blessed him beyond all measure, and you protect him from any and everything. If you took down that protection, he wouldn't serve you." So God says, "Fine, you've got access to everything he has, but you don't take his life." And the whole book of Job was that Satan was given access to Job. Job went through the pounding pressure and the intense heat. He went through the process, but God knew his children. God knows his child. He knew that when Peter went through this, he was going to maintain faith and come back the apostle that he was destined to be. And that's really what Jesus tells him. When Jesus says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But look at 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Don't worry, Peter. Satan has asked. God's given access. But I've already prayed for you. Your faith's not going to be going to fail. You're going to be fine. Even though Satan is going to try to sift you, it will not work. And when you return, he didn't say if, he's saying when. If you belong to God and the world has come after you, your flesh is rising up against you, perhaps even the enemy has been given access to you by God himself. I want to give you an encouraging word from the mouth of Jesus himself. "I have prayed for you," Jesus said. He is at the right hand of God, ever interceding on behalf of his kids. He is proclaiming you before his Father. "I have prayed for you, and your faith will not fail. And when you have returned, you strengthen your brethren." The pounding pressure of the blacksmith isn't comfortable. No, it's not fun, but it's necessary. For in the pounding pressure, the making of the apostle takes place. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. You come back next week. Until then, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.